Please come to order. Will the members please show their presence by voting?
No.
The House, please stand at ease. Oral roll call. Will Chief Clerk please take the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Barnes.
Here.
Byrne.
Here.
Bettesworth.
Here.
Branson.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchholz.
Here.
Carney.
Here.
Chatterton.
Here.
Cotton.
Here.
Duncan.
Here.
Duncan's here. Eliason.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Fuller.
Here.
Guy.
Present.
Halford.
Here.
Haugen. Hayes.
Here.
Hurlburt.
Here.
McKinnon.
Here.
Malone. Martin.
Here.
Meekins. Metcalf.
Here.
Miles.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Montgomery.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Munson. O'Connell.
Here.
Osterbach.
Here.
Parker. Parr.
Here.
Phillips.
Here.
Randolph.
Here.
Rogers.
Here.
Schaefer. Smith.
Here.
Jaroff. Gardner.
Here.
Representative Munson is present.
36 present. Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the policy.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Bettesworth be excused from the call of the House March 17th.
Is that Representative Bettesworth?
Yes, for Representative Bettesworth.
There's no objection, Representative Bettesworth, excused on those dates.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Byrne be excused from the call of the House March 18 and March 21.
I didn't get it.
Representative Byrne.
Representative Byrne will be excused on those dates. The prayer today is by Father Everett Trebtoski, St. Peter the Apostle Catholic Church. Will the members please rise for the prayer?
God our Father, your goodness is diffused throughout all the world, and by the labor of man and woman, you guide to perfection the work of creation. Hear the prayers of this legislature and continue to clothe them with the virtues necessary to bring to fulfillment your will. For all your blessings, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Representative Freeman.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand.
In Gallery A, two visitors from Anchorage that are residents of Representative Munson and Metcalf's district, Teresa and Bob Block.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, two people. First, a gentleman who is a good, loyal, I think, member of the Department of Natural Resources staff from Anchorage, Mr. Mike Franger. And his colleague, who is a constituent of Representative Carney's and the mother of my two brilliant nieces, my sister-in-law, Dean Brown.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce a friend of yours, a friend of mine, to the gallery, Carol Morimitsu.
Representative Haugen. Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, two very good friends of mine,
that come below that old white mountain just a little southeast of Nome, Enid and Robert Lincoln.
Representative Eliason.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two RSVP students in Gallery A, Chris Griffith and from Sitka, and Esther Pruitt from Sitka. Chris is working in the Glacier Valley Fire Department, and Esther is a teacher's aide.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I have a good friend in Gallery B, Patrick Paul. He's the past president of the Alaska Native Brotherhood.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, you and I have a constituent in Gallery A, an RSVP student here observing government action, from Metlakatla, April Booth.
Further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
I have no communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, your House Resources Committee has had under consideration for sunset review the Guide Licensing and Control Board pursuant to your referral under AS 446650 and AS 8310. It's quite long. It will be duplicated and printed in the journal. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 65 expressing gratitude to the Canadian government and the Canadian citizens involved in the rescue of six Americans from Iran under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 65 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, O'Connell, Carney, Parr, and Jaroff. House Joint Resolution 65 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 593, a special appropriation for a grant to the City of Delta Junction for various projects under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 593 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Miller, Parker, and Gardner. Having no recommendation, Metcalf, Eliason, and Martin. House Bill 593 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 773, requiring the Department of Revenue to compute and report average wholesale prices for Alaska salmon under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 773 and recommends it do not pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, signing do not pass, Halford, Chatterton, Fuller, Eliason, and Jaroff. Signing do pass, Osterbach. House Bill 773 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation in memoriam, Mike Strotter, by Representatives Miller and Duncan. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Oh, excuse me. House Bill 956 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for a mental health transitional facility in Anchorage and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
Mr. Speaker, I do have one more committee report.
Revert to reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Rules has had House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 71 relating to annual free hunting, trapping, and sport fishing licenses for senior citizens under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with second committee substitute for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 71 Rules and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Parr, Miller, Phillips, and Anderson. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 71 appears on today's calendar in third reading.
It brings
I have no further standing committee reports.
It brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. The House, please stand at ease.
The Committee on Rules has had House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 71 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with second House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 71 and recommend there are two Rules Committee's second committee substitutes. So there are two committee reports. Okay. And reports it back with the second House CS for SB with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, signing do not pass unless amended, Anderson, Hayes, and Miller. Signing no recommendation, Parr, Phillips, and Brown. Cotton signed do pass. The Committee on Rules has had House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71 under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with second CS for HCS SB 71 rules and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, signing do pass, Cotton, Parr, Miller, Phillips, and Anderson. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Second House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Second Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments? Representative Cotton. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? As members may remember, we're supposed to have our class picture today. The picture's going to be taken on the steps of the Capitol building, so we're going to stand in recess to call the chair so that we can all go down there. I appreciate it if everybody just go down there and we'll get the picture over with and then come back and continue with the bill. The photographer has been waiting for some time now. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess to the call of the chair.
There's no objection. The House in recess to call of the chair. The House, please come back to order. There was a mistake here when we started on Senate Bill 71. The Senate Bill 71, because it is on reconsideration, was in third reading, so the motion to adopt the committee substitute will be voided. Senate Bill 71 is for the House in third reading. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we move to second reading for the purposes of adopting a specific amendment, that being Second Rules Committee, Second House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71.
There's no objection. We'll return to second reading for purposes of adopting specific amendment. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Second House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Second House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71 rules by the Rules Committee. An act relating to annual free hunting, trapping, and sport fishing licenses for senior citizens and providing for an effective date.
The Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, just to be sure that I understand where we are we talking about the bill that we have before us now? Is this the single-page bill that's on our desk?
That's correct. It should read Second House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 71.
Rules. Thank you.
That is the amendment before the body. It's the Second Rules Committee Substitute. There's no objection. The Second Rules Committee Substitute will be adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Second House Rules Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 71 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Second House.
Objection for a question.
Mr. Representative Speaker. Brown.
I know there. Did I miss something? Or have we adopted this amendment we've got in front of us? We're going to third reading. Are we required to do this because we were in third reading originally?
We're in reconsideration. So,
so we have to go back and forth.
Under reconsideration, we start off in third reading. You have to return to second reading for each specific amendment. If there's no further objection, Second Committee, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill number 71 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Second House Committee Substitute for SB 71 rules by the Rules Committee. An act relating to annual free hunting, trapping, and sport fishing licenses for senior citizens and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Clerk, please read the amendment.
The amendment has been put on everybody's desk.
I don't have a copy.
House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Cotton. Representative Miller.
Speaker, as last year, I would oppose this amendment. 2 years ago when I was in resources, and maybe the situation has changed. If it has, I'll ask the Rules Chairman to advise me that it's changed. 2 years ago when I was on resources, the department suggested this sort of language because there was a problem funding some specific permit or punch card, or, and not necessarily literally punch card, but that type of documentation for a specific fishery in the South Central area. In other words, all these $5 would pay for biologists to go out and check these punch cards, or if they didn't use punch cards, whatever the equivalent was. And so, for you know, for that particular bunch of fishermen, that was a way to raise the money to pay for those biologists and the paperwork and everything else that was apparently necessary. Didn't quarrel with that a bit. But the fishery is such here in Southeast Alaska that it's doubtful if we'll ever need that sort of, you know, punch card or equivalent type operation in the king salmon fishery here. It just, you know, we don't fish in the rivers here except under just, well, I guess I can't think of any rivers that there's sport fishing for kings down here. And the type of activity that's called for with the punch cards and everything just isn't applicable to Southeast Alaska. And yet that's what the $5 would be used for. It may be, of course, that you know, we can't designate funds, so officially it probably goes into the general fund, I suppose, and then unofficially that amount of money is targeted for that particular purpose. But what the real effect of this is that you're, for people who live in Southeast Alaska, you're just automatically raising the fishing license fee $5 for every sports fisherman in Southeast Alaska. Because that is the fish that they go for down here. Even if you're fishing for dollies in the you know, in those areas where near creeks and one thing or another, where it's legal to fish for them, you've always got a good chance of even picking up a king in the process. If you're trolling for cohos, you've got an excellent chance of picking up a king. Even if you're not, sometimes even if you're fishing for halibut deep down, you're also fishing for a king. So the net result of this would be that no fisherman in Southeast Alaska would dare go out without paying this extra $5, the proceeds of which, unless the situation has changed in the last 2 years, would not even go to the fishery here in Southeast Alaska. Now, the argument is made, at least it was made last year, and I presume it's made again this year, that Well, we get a lot of benefits, you know, down here in Southeast Alaska from the king salmon. It's paid for by state bonds and that sort of thing. And of course, that's true. As does Anchorage. There are hatcheries near Anchorage. There are hatcheries right there on Fort Ritz that the state helps, you know, contribute to. All over the state, hatcheries and king salmon management is a statewide funded project, as it should be. But when you take up a special, peculiar problem, as they apparently have there in South Central area, and you have to address that problem with a few bucks, I'm not so sure that it's right to charge every Southeast Alaska fisherman an additional $5 to solve that local problem. So for that reason, I opposed the legislation last year and would vote again against it.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you may know, that in recent years, the king salmon have started to come back in the South Central and interior districts at a much better rate than anybody had really even hoped for. So now, in the springtime, we can all go, if we get out of Juneau in time, we can go up and do a little king salmon fishing ourselves, and we might be fishing for trout or other types of fish and hope to catch a king salmon. So we're in a similar situation more and more these days. The money isn't necessarily just to pay a biologist to go out and notice whether somebody's fishing in a stream or not. The $5 goes into the Fish and Game Fund, and that's used to hopefully specifically for the rehabilitation and improvement of the king salmon stocks throughout the state. And I might add that South Central Alaska isn't the only place that we spend money to improve the king salmon situation. 2 days ago, we passed a bill on the floor of the House that appropriated $900,000 to the Snettisham Hatchery, and it was very specifically pointed out on the floor of this House that a lot of that money was going into a king salmon hatchery situation. The Taku River, several hundred thousand dollars is spent in the Taku River specifically for king salmon rehabilitation. It is not a situation that's unique to South Central Alaska. I think Alaska should consider themselves as one on this issue, and I think that the amendment's very appropriate.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, it seems a little contradictory in a time when we're making great efforts to find ways to get rid of billions of dollars that we should have to depend on money for fisheries to go back and hang another $5 price tag on the opportunity, the privilege of fishing. And for that reason alone, it doesn't seem reasonable to me to adopt the amendment.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I wonder if the previous speaker is suggesting we delete that statewide.
Representative Freeman.
My argument was last year we shouldn't put it in for any part of the state.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I don't claim to know much about fish. I don't think last time I went fishing, I was about 20 years old. And you can all look at me and tell it was a long time ago. But I do not understand any rationale for having such a fee which does not apply statewide. And I just am not clear as to any rationale anyone can advance why people in one part of the state should do it for free while others have to pay. So if there is one, I'd like to know it.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Is there further debate? It will be a roll call vote. Question, it takes 21 votes to return to second reading. Voting machine is working. The question before the House is a motion to return to second reading for adoption of specific amendment number 1. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Moss. Are there other members? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
We are in second reading. Representative Cotton.
Speaker, I move the amendment.
Amendment number one has been moved. Objection is noted. Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Cotton. Page one, line six.
Oh, did I lose it? Excuse me. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Is there debate? Question before the House is the adoption of amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
27 yeas, 11 nays.
Amendment number one has been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that second rules, House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Second Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71, as amended by the House, will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Second House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71, rules amended by the House by the Rules Committee. An act relating to annual free hunting, trapping, and sport fishing licenses for senior citizens and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill number 71 is before the House in final passage. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Miller.
I do, Mr. Speaker, from no to yes.
Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
Let's see, what do I do? 31 yeas, 7 nays.
Second House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71, as amended by the House, has passed. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Second House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71 amended be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call on the final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 811 by Osterbach and Jaroff. An act relating to price disputes between fishermen and fish processors and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 811 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 811 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill number 811 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Bill number 811 by Osterbach and Jaroff. An act relating to price disputes between fishermen and fish processors and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, could we get an explanation of the bill? I think I understand what it does, but I'd like an explanation.
Representative Osterbach.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This law is already on the in the statutes, and the Department of Labor can send a mediator in now if either the fishermen or the canneries ask for one. But they only have 30 days before the season opened. And with the amount of fish we're having now, we might want to call in a foreign bottom or to help take care of the fish in different areas. There wouldn't be any fiscal note on this bill, but raising it to 120 days would be about 4 months. And in between that time, they could call in a mediator to help negotiate a fish price if there's a dispute between the canneries and the fishermen.
Is there further debate? Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 811. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
37 yeas, 1 nay.
House Bill 811 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 811 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Completes today's calendar and brings us to unfinished business. Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I reluctantly move and ask unanimous consent that we remove House Bill 507 from the State Affairs Committee and move it to Finance. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph.
Almost 2 weeks ago, in fact, it was 2 weeks ago, I guess, I ceased doing this, and I am extremely reluctant to start doing it again. However, it appears that there are some problems that the majority in this House have not been able to overcome as far as getting this issue before this body so we can vote on it. And unfortunately, the issues that seem to be difficult to overcome have nothing to do with tax repeal. They have to do with a distribution program of some surpluses, as near as I can understand. This is the 60th day of the session. We've been able to pass such monumental legislation as our own pay raise, as $900 million going to the permanent fund, and in the process of considering many other important pieces of legislation. But the one thing that will do the most good is to get tax repeal back to people who have been carrying the load for the many, many years, for the whole ball game. And now that we do have an opportunity to give them their just desserts, we're playing games with it. And that's the reason, I think, we put this one simple issue. 507 is a bill that's been stated many times, deals only with individual income tax, repeal of that, and nothing more. Let's put that on the floor, vote it up or down, and then go on to whatever programs we wish. Thank you, sir.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to have to give my overwhelming support to this measure. I'm sitting here counting. I've got approximately 40 letters from my own constituency. This is just from within my constituency that I've received in support of this kind of action and in support of direct repeal of income tax. And I think it's of tremendous importance. And this is just today's mail. 40 letters in one day from within my own district that want this action taken, want this bill moved, and want it moved out, and they want it now. We can argue about the rest of this stuff later, the redistribution of the wealth, et cetera. But I'm ready to move this bill, and I think the body ought to be. The message from home should be impeccably clear by now. It's time to move the bill.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, my constituents didn't come send me down here just to respond to a bunch of telegrams that I get. They sent me down here to use my best judgment and vote what I thought I should do. And that's what I'm going to do. I don't care if I get 120 telegrams like Mr. Metcalf's talking about.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've received an equal amount of telegrams. And it would be a farce if this body would go ahead and move a bill for tax repeal when the other body has moved another bill. And it was locked in to a free conference committee and nothing could happen to give anybody tax relief this year. We could go back and we could say, we did our job, somebody else didn't do their job. I think that I'm concerned that we come out with a bill that will pass this body, the other body, and not go for a veto by the governor so that we can give people some tax relief.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, very briefly, that's idiotic. Everybody knows that what we have to do is get a vehicle through this body into free commerce.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I believe that the member knows very well that you're not supposed to call into question the motives or personalities on the floor of this House. No doubt you'll let him proceed with his debate considering your view of the application of the First Amendment, but he is thoroughly out of order in my opinion.
I think Representative Brown's opinion is pretty close. Representative Randolph?
I obviously disagree with it. I wasn't being personal about it anyway. I was talking about the statement that was made. And we all do know that this body has to pass something to get into free conference committee. Then that thing's going to be changed every which way in free conference committee. So let's not kid ourselves. It's not going to all happen there. And if we, until we get a vehicle there to match the one the Senate passed, what, 3 weeks ago now, 3.5 weeks ago, nothing can begin to really happen.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, clearly the previous speaker is trying to defeat any tax reform in this legislature, but because, of course, he knows, I assume, and the other members know, that what Mrs. Munson referred to indirectly is the case. There is a tradition that is very well respected and always followed, and if it's not respected, it's considered an insult by one House against the other, that if one House first passes a bill in a subject matter area or on a certain subject, the other House accedes to that House and marks up that bill. If we were to move a House bill out when we have a Senate bill being marked up in committee, the circumstances are such that we may create a deadlock. Apparently, in light of his knowledge of the parliamentary history of that rule, he's trying to accomplish a deadlock so we get no tax reform this year.
Representative Randolph.
Obviously, Mr. Brown's remarks are also idiotic.
Question for the House, the motion to move House Bill 507 from the State Affairs Committee to the Finance Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
Motion has failed. There are other items of unfinished business to come before the House. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I apologize. I don't have the committee schedule in front of me, but we do have a regular meeting of the House Commerce Committee at 8 in the morning on Monday, and the schedule has been published for about a day and a half. And tomorrow morning, I'm drawing a blank. Somebody help me. Maybe my vice chairperson has it. No, that was this morning. Maybe Mr. Randolph, the former chairman, has a knowledge of it. The meeting is posted tomorrow morning at 8, and then reinsert data. That's why I started talking about Monday. There's no meeting tomorrow. There was one scheduled, but because you have canceled the floor session for tomorrow, it was indicated we could not get enough. So the meeting on 9:34 that was scheduled for tomorrow is in our new posted schedule, and we will have a regular meeting at 8 in the morning on Monday.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, because the joint session will be this afternoon, we're only going to take up two pieces of business, and they're both on the same subject, and this will be at 1 o'clock, and I repeat, 1 o'clock, and I would ask the members, even though it's kind of tough with the lunch hour, to be prompt, because we'll only have about 45 minutes at best to take care of this legislation. Some people are in town from out of town to deal with it. This will be HGR 66 and 67 regarding upgrading of White Pass and Yukon Route Railway. And I repeat, that meeting is at 1 o'clock in order for us to finish up our business before the joint session at 2.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, at this time I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on the Second House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 71, Rules.
Thank you.
That bill was under reconsideration.
Sorry.
So the bill's no longer available. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary will meet at 3 this afternoon or upon completion of the joint session, whichever comes later. We're meeting with the Senate Judiciary jointly to hear the report of the Committee on Minority Sentencing.
Representative Buckle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House yes is not going to have a meeting this afternoon because our delegation from Anchorage, our mayor and assembly people are here for our luncheon meeting, once a month meeting, and also that the by the time we have our special session this afternoon, we probably won't be carrying on with the hearings that we intended to have. So the meeting is going to go on for the bill is going to be heard sometime next week, and I'll schedule it again for those people who have not been heard yet.
Representative Sharoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The House Resources Committee will be meeting today at 3 p.m. Or at the completion of the joint session to take up the sponsor substitute for House Bill 779, geothermal hydroelectric financing legislation.
Further announcements? House, please stand at ease. Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration of House Bill 729 be held over until Tuesday of next week.
There is a motion to hold over the reconsideration of House Bill 729 until Tuesday. Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, hearing objection, I have asked the department to prepare an assessment of the, I've been practicing, fiscal. fiscal. See, I stood in front of the mirror last night and said it 10 times. Anyway, I've asked them to to prepare a proper assessment of the fiscal impact of the bill, and they are doing so. So I think it would be proper that if the bill does pass, at least I think that it should do so with the full understanding of the impact of the legislation, and that's why I request that it be held over.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, may I ask when this report is to be ready?
I talked to them this morning.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I spoke with the department this morning, and they were trying to get it out by the end of this session, today's session. Apparently they have not, and so therefore I ask that it be held over.
Representative
Mr.
Anderson.
Speaker, what is the motion to hold it over for one
motion
day?
Is to hold it over until Tuesday.
Until Tuesday.
We will not be in session tomorrow, so the next legislative day would be Monday. Representative Metcalf's motion is hold it over till Tuesday.
Well, we normally give the courtesy to members who do ask for bills to be held over for a specific purpose. I think we should honor this one. I have no objection to holding it over. If, in fact, the report is going to be ready.
Is there objection? There's no object. Representative Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I was just looking hurriedly through the rules. Maybe somebody corrected me if I'm wrong. I don't think you can hold it over till Tuesday. You've got two things. You can hold it over one legislative day, which would bring it up Monday, or the member, if he wishes, can bring it up now, put it in third reading, and then move that it be calendared for Tuesday. But the rules, I think, don't allow us to hold over for more than one legislative day. So, you know, you've got to make that choice. If you want Tuesday, my suggestion would be that you bring it up at this time, put it in third, and then move to calendar it for Tuesday.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration of 729 be brought up at this time and placed in the third reading.
The reconsideration of House Bill 729 is before the House in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Bill number 729 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to works of art in public facilities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 729 be placed on Tuesday's calendar.
The motion is to hold House Bill 729 over until Tuesday's calendar. Is there debate? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I don't, as a matter of courtesy, I normally don't object, but it's my feeling, it's my understanding of the bill that there's not going to be any fiscal note, and therefore I consider it a fiscal impossibility to have a fiscal note by Tuesday. Therefore, why don't we vote on it now and get on with it?
That's a fiscal oral.
Is there a question before The question before the House is the motion to hold House Bill 729 over until Tuesday's calendar. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
26 yeas, 9 nays.
The motion has carried.
Mr. Speaker.
The bill will appear on Tuesday's calendar. Representative Brown.
Are we back under special orders?
Under special orders.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to address the body about a matter involving the regimentation of private lives of individuals.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, it may not have been intended by either the state government or the contractor that works for Alyeska at Pump Station 7, but there is a problem up there, and I thought I'd inform the members about it and tell them about some progress in it. A lot of the people who work at Pump Station 7 actually do have homes and families in Fairbanks, and what they'd like to do, and of course since they are involved in a industrially related matter, they really can legally drive the haul road. What they like to be able to do is, when they're not working, is get home. But the problem is that there's a parking problem there, and Fluor has indicated it was trying to encourage, in quotes, its employees to use the company bus. And the use of the company bus prohibits any free off-hours movement of the employees that are at all effective. And this does have the effect, perhaps not intended by the employer, Alyeska, of regulating the employees' private lives by public policy, or by company policy. Now, recently the Department of Transportation issued warnings to these people. They were parking on the road, stating that unless they ceased, the cars would be towed away. That's nice. You're sitting at a Pump Station 7 and your car's gone, and maybe you'll be able to make the schedule for the company bus to get back to Fairbanks to home. Now I understand that the department has decided that they should rescind that order, or at least rescind it for a short while to try to resolve the problem. But it is a serious problem. I hope it will not be necessary have some legislation in this area. Some people may even have suggested a paved parking lot up there. We're doing a lot of other things with capital budget right now. Perhaps the finance members from our district could pay some attention to that. But hopefully it is going to be worked out with the Department of Transportation. It is very unfortunate we have a situation where, perhaps inadvertently, because of private company policy and an unthinking response from state government, that we are regulating the private lives of individuals in Alaska.
There are further special orders. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Elias be excused from the call of the House March 19.
There's no objection. Representative Elias will be excused on March 19th. Further special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 1:55 p.m.
Don't forget the Democratic Caucus. If there's no objection, the House is in recess until 1:55 p.m.